Cricket on the Brain 24/7, 365. Well, every Monday, Corbin Middlemass and ex-test opener Ed Cowan join forces on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
And I watch him bat and I think it's like Brian Lara on steroids.
Featuring the best analysis and biggest results.
We're not better off trying to blood someone else in a series like this.
And the stories that have your cricket thread popping off.
So if I'm buying the Renegades, why would I want to purchase that?
ABC Cricket Podcast, every Monday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Because there's no off-season in cricket.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And there it is, another high point in the Socceroos World Cup journey. A third time they've qualified for the knockout phase.
Nil all. It never sounded so sweet. Australia into the FIFA World Cup Final 32 after a draw with Paraguay in Santa Clara. Did we get an iconic Australian sports moment? Not really. But a lot did happen. Tony Popovich rung the changes, six of them for the Socceroos' final group game, and it was largely perfect for the situation. Christian Volpato, Jackson Irvine, Aidan O'Neill, Geordie Boss, among those who starred. The Aussies can now cool their heels for the next challenge in a week. Plus, there's a heap to get across. Mark Schwarzer will do just that with us. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Socceroos legend Mark Schwartz has been to two World Cups, one with Australian manager Tony Popovich. Mark, a nil-all draw. You're a thoughtful man, and we will go deep and be thoughtful later. But first, I love it when you get emotional. Give us your immediate emotional response to Australia going through to the round of 32.
Obviously, very, very delighted, happy, you know, really, really happy that's over with as well, that we're through. You know, it's always tough when you're nil-nil with minutes to go and you feel like, you know, you've really been comfortable for, you know, 92 minutes, 93 minutes, and you feel like, right, just don't get an unlucky goal. Don't, like, just don't let it slip now.
I think that the one at the end was the first time that I really looked at the clock and thought, please, blow the whistle.
And that's always a risk when you're at nil-nil. I mean, we saw, I don't know if you saw, but the US game, they lost in the last minute of the game. Not that it matters anything in any way, context, shape or form. However, it's more about the fact that you can lose a game very late on and it can be devastating. For us, it's job done. Before the tournament, if you said, we'll finish second, I was like, absolutely. I had Australia finishing second in the group before the tournament began. The problem is Belgium haven't lived up to this, to part of my plan. Belgium was supposed to top Group G and be out of sight by now. The issue is now, looks like there's a strong possibility that's who our next opponent will be.
We'll get over to the headaches of Dallas on July 4 in a few moments' time, but let's sort of luxuriate in the success, I guess, of getting through to a group stage at a World Cup, just the third time the Socceroos have managed to do that. Can you spell out the enormity of what they've achieved?
It's massive for the game. It's massive for the group of players, for the manager. Look, a really, really tough group. Host nation, USA, Paraguay, Turkey. Like, they're all teams that... Look, we were seen as the whipping boys in the group. We were seen as the team that all of them were expecting to pick up 3 points against. And to put in the performance initially to start the ball rolling against Turkey was a great way to start it all off. So I think what it means is for the game itself, it continues the football to be in the limelight. The nation will stop for another day, another game. Who knows what's going to happen? You're in a knockout stage now. Anything can happen. Today's performance, I'm not really that bothered about the performance itself per se. It was all about the result today. We've ticked that box. So it's massive for the game itself. It's massive for the interest. It's also knocking on the door with people in higher places within Australia to say, look, this is how big our game is. This is how unifying our game is. This is how important our game is to the larger part of the population. And you know, for the game to continue to grow and to be in the place where I believe it should be, we need all the support we can get and all the little wins along the way we can get.
Let's get into the nitty gritty. Tony Popovich made six changes. He never leaves us, without something to talk about at selection, the manager. I guess we're probably drawn to your Christian Volpatos, your Lucas Harringtons, et cetera. More sort of 30,000 feet view. First half, what we've struggled with is getting out of the blocks. And it seemed as though this was an instance where we controlled things a little bit more than we're used to.
Yeah, we did. And I think... That was very encouraging, of course, the way in which you start the game, that sets the tone for certainly a large part of it. And for that first 45 minutes, we were pretty much in control for the vast majority of it. It just sort of, I think it shows a different side of the Socceroos, and there is a chance to be more creative, more adventurous, and you can go at teams a little bit more. It didn't quite work out. You know, our final pass wasn't quite on. Our deliveries in set plays were actually, I thought, pretty poor today. Had we had better delivery, I think we could have caused more problems. That side of the game let us down a little bit. In that final third, maybe a little bit of decision-making at times wasn't quite right. And I'm still not convinced Nestori Irukunda as a number nine is the right way forward. I don't think you get the best out of Irukunda in that position. But look, today it worked. Today we got the result we needed, and there was a lot of real structure about our team with the way in which it was set up. Jackson Irvine obviously brought in a lot of experience and that work ethic that he has. I thought O'Neill was excellent today. I thought he was really, really good. I thought he looked so comfortable. I liked what I saw from Connor Metcalf once again. Defensively, we never really seemed to be under a lot of pressure. I think the game was managed overall pretty well from the side.
I have been crying out for, Australian soccer fans have been crying out for a Geordie Boss game, because we know what it looks like when we see one. We got one tonight. Maybe not the goal, but it was electric at times. And he was kind of playing out of position. You forecast this coming in. Tell me what we saw from Geordie Boss.
I mean, look, I still think there's a lot more to come. Like, I feel like there is so much more in this guy to put out on this stage. I don't think we've seen anywhere near the best of Geordie Boss as yet. Saying that, out of position today, wrong side, like for him, the opposite side to what he normally plays. I thought he was one of our best players on the pitch.
O'Neill gets tight here for Boss, but he's got the skill to get out of it. Wriggles through two challenges. Geordie Boss! Oh, fizzes just wide of the back upright. Oh, that was another moment.
His engine, obviously, is one of his strengths. His control at high speed is very, very good with the ball. He got himself in a really good position late on in the game, and then he was able to tuck back on his left. So a predominantly left footer on the right can work really well if you get him down this line and then be able to cut back inside. It creates all sorts of problems. And he was a little bit unlucky, couldn't quite keep the shot on target in the far towards the far post. That would have capped off a very, very good performance. But I still feel that, you know, the bar is so high, the expectation is so high with Geordie Boss, the season that he's had. So you're kind of always expecting and hoping that he'll give you something a little bit more. And maybe it's a bit unfair, but I think out of position on the unusual right side rather than his left, I thought he adapted really, really well.
The way he connected with Christian Volpato down that right side was something that was giving Paraguay a lot of headaches. And let's go to Christian Volpato, earns his first start for Australia, a guy who so close to the deadline wasn't even going to be at this World Cup. A lot to like. Do you feel like we got one here, Mark? Like it feels like we got something a little bit special here, and it's exciting.
Yeah, look, I think he's someone, obviously he's still very young. There's roughness around the edges. There's certainly a lot of talent. There's a lot of ability. There's, I think, a little bit of streetwise still needs to come. I think there's a little bit of up to speed of the match itself, the intensity of the game, the pace of the game. Sometimes, I think there was quite a few times in that first half he got caught in possession when in those sort of final thirds. And I know, look, it's tough. In those final thirds, it's really tough because you get swarmed, but they're the kind of moments where people like Volpato and his sort of like his style of play need to come into their own. And I thought there was a couple of moments there where he just got caught too long in possession. But look, he worked really hard. He tracked really hard. And there were some really good little plays down the right-hand side as well with Geordie Boss in that first half. And our threats all came down that side. But yeah, look, I think, again, it's another big step in a really positive direction. He's a kid that is still finding his way within the national team. He's still finding his way under Popovic, the way in which the Socceroos play. He's still getting he's trying to still find his way of understanding and building those relationships with his teammates. But so far, all the signs are really, really positive.
18-year-old Lucas Herrington becomes the youngest Socceroo to start at a World Cup. I don't know what you were doing at 18. You're probably playing professional football somewhere, but I was certainly not someone who could be described as having poise under pressure. He looked comfortable at the highest possible level.
He does. I mean, it's like nothing. I said it before, like there's nothing that phases. It doesn't seem like there's anything that phases him. And it's actually a really good characteristic to have on the football pitch. Certainly as a young kid, certainly as a centre half, like under pressure, he doesn't panic. He seems to have everything under control. He doesn't really take risks. He seems very assured with the ball at his feet. He's very confident in his own ability. His positional play was really good. Obviously, we're talking about, this is his first game against a Paraguay side that right from the off, I think, made it pretty clear that they were happy with a result, with a draw. The next step is now when you come up against a better opposition, whether it's a Belgium or whether it's an Egypt or so forth, where you're going to have better quality players running at you, and the decision-making split second, the positional play is so and so important. The timing of challenges. Look, I think I've said it a while ago. I said it in March when I saw this kid play, and I thought this kid has got something special, and again today reiterates that, and it shows you that there's again another one, and this is what makes it really exciting about the Socceroos. And as much as we want them to have a lot of success right now, this World Cup, and go as far as they can, and there's frustration about how they played against the US, and even today, to a degree, there was frustration not keeping the ball at times, and maybe having a slightly different sort of personnel, and Aaron Cundin maybe wider out rather than up front as a number nine. There's so much excitement about this team because of how young some of the players are, and what their ceilings are, and feeling like thinking about where could they go without getting too carried away, because we don't want to get too carried away. We don't want to put them on a pedestal and say that they're going to be, you know, whatever, the next Harry Kewell, the next Tim Cahill. You know, we don't want to do that. We want them to find a space where they can grow and they can improve. There's quite a few of them are playing at really high levels already. And what we want is this World Cup to be a springboard for them to go into something bigger and better. Because if they get better, we get better as a nation, as a football nation. And we want these guys to carry us even further. We want these guys to rewrite the history books when it comes to World Cups, continue to qualify for World Cups, but also then go even further in the World Cup. And there's a generation of players coming through. I didn't even mention Patrick Beech. You know, look, I said leading up to this game that I would possibly look at bringing Matty Ryan. I said, yeah, I'd bring Matty Ryan in because of the experience. But again, Patrick Beech looked unfazed. Not that he was put under a lot of pressure today. Came out and took a really good cross, I thought, in the first half. That also reassured everyone. He's got a tremendous talent. He doesn't look nervy. He doesn't look like anything really, really stresses him out. He seems very calm. His distribution was very good today. The core of the team, and look, Harry Sutter's only 27. And what happens is we wrap him up in cotton wool for the next 4 years after this World Cup, and then we wheel him out again for the next World Cup, and he'd be ready again. I mean, it's quite remarkable if you think about it, how little football he's played in the course of times between World Cups and leading up to World Cups, and he's still able to put in performances like he does. It's exciting. It really is. There's some really good young players coming through.
Yes, speaking dangerous levels of even-handed reason there, Schwartz. You know, you're giving us the excitement, but you're just making sure we're not getting too carried away just yet. And I like that. I like that you're managing expectations.
We have to, you know, because the World Cup's so pressurized as it is. The expectations of playing for the Socceroos, what came before, what's expected. There's a whole lot of different pressures. Playing, you know, top-class European football is a lot of pressure. That's something, when you look at it, like Lucas Herrington, he hasn't experienced that level yet. So he's playing in the MLS. That's obviously a step up from when he was playing in the A-League. He's just started playing regularly. Now he's made that next step up in playing for the national team. Now he's played at the World Cup. So, and I envisage he'll play in the next game. I'll be again, who knows? I feel that he should play the next game. Who knows what Pogba's going to do? But the next step for him is to go to Europe, because I've always said it. I want to see as many Australian players playing in Europe as possible. That is the highest level you can play at. European football is the highest level. You want as many of our players playing at the highest level. We want to get back to players playing, you know, at the moment, whether it's Premier League, the best league in the world, or for me, it certainly is, and La Liga and all these sort of leagues. We want as many Australians playing at that level as possible, and that will only improve our national team.
One player playing in European football and looks like he could play at higher levels still is Nestori Iheanacho. You've made the point that being asked to lead the line and being asked to sort of run at the line, as it were, two very different things, and the sort of different things that he and Mo Touré bring. From what you've seen today, from what you've seen across the tournament, do you feel like looking ahead to whoever we play, you want to see those two guys playing together?
I personally think so. I thought their combination worked really, really well. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. I thought they worked really well together against Turkey. I thought, even and when Conor Metcalf as well, I thought the out was great. I thought that when you look at that, I think that it makes a lot more sense for me. I know the story play, you know, I thought today he did all right. I think he did a pretty good job considering. And the difficulty is as well, I thought that he had a lot of balls, a lot of kind of high balls played out to him. And he's still dealt with it really well. He's still got, I mean, an enormous spring. But For me, his strengths are running at players, getting the ball and running at players, running in behind players. It's very difficult to do it as a number nine when you're expected, when you're playing with a back three, back five, and you're expecting to absorb pressure, then you're looking to try and play out, and you're trying to look for those out balls. There's not a lot of support. And when you're playing up against two centre-halves or sometimes three centre-halves, it's really tough. It's really, really tough to deal with it. I mean, they were on him like a swarm of bees every time, or flies whenever he touched the ball. You know, like they were just on him. It's well aware. And what you want to do is you want to make it more difficult for the opponent. You want him to have a bit of space where he can actually turn and run at people rather than have people up his backside. And they're able to bully him and manage him, because it's a lot more difficult when you've got your back to play. If you've got space to take a touch, take it inside, knock it past someone, uses his pace, you start frightening the living daylights out of people, and they drop off, they create more space, you create more space for your teammates. And I think that worked really, really well against Turkey.
Next up is going to be one of either Egypt, Iran, New Zealand, or Belgium. So in that group right now, as it stands, Egypt is top, then it is Iran, then Belgium, then New Zealand. If Egypt play Iran and win, as we would expect, they would top the group. And if New Zealand lose to Belgium, which we would expect, Belgium will finish second in the group. I'll draw to Belgium in a minute, but just short answer, if you had to pick one, who would you want if you could?
I'd probably prefer Egypt. I probably would.
Out of those four teams, you would prefer Egypt?
No, sorry. Out of the four teams, I want New Zealand, of course. Okay. Out of those four teams, this goes without saying. My first team I want is New Zealand, then I want Iran. But the likelihood of who's going to finish second, in my opinion, is either going to be Egypt or Belgium, I believe. That's how I see it. I don't see it any other way. I'd like it to be Egypt over Belgium. But Belgium, I thought, have been poor at this tournament so far. But they've got the quality. They've got, I think, man for man, more quality than Egypt. But Egypt also have Mo Salah and Mamouche. And, you know, they've got some phenomenal players as well. But overall, not that Egypt's going to be an easy game. It's just I feel like it's a better fit for us.
It feels exciting talking about Australia potentially pushing into the round of 16 against whether it's Egypt, Belgium, who knows. Good times ahead, Mark Schwarzer. Thanks so much for your analysis. Look forward to catching up with you in the lead into the next game.
Pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Headlines. In the other Group D game, the United States rested almost all the players from the Australia game and lost 3-2 to Turkey. Big story from earlier in the day was Ecuador coming from a goal down to beat four-time champions Germany and secure progression. What saints from the South Americans. Cote d'Ivoire beat Curaçao 2-0 to finish second in Group E behind the Germans. Then the Netherlands thumped Tunisia 3-1 to top Group F. Japan drew 2-2 with Sweden as the Asian nation finished second in that cohort. You know where you can find more Socceroos podcast content between now and kickoff in Dallas next Saturday morning here on ABC Sport Daily. Tell your friends, tell your family, get around us. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS for the extra audio used in this episode.